Brett Hedekin joins us. Brett, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, Jace. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's the Shark Tank's one of my favorite places to watch a game at. It's so loud. The acoustics are fantastic. And, you know, the Sharks, they've always had good support, but it'll be loud in there now. They come home. They're in the conference final. And you look at this matchup, the Sharks, I thought, really dominated, especially on the power play. Brett, as a former player, I want to ask you, did you ever have a coaching staff have a rule that if you broke your stick on the man down, you'd right away go to the bench? Did that seem odd to you that St. Louis did that twice?
I couldn't believe it when Steen did it, and it directly resulted to the Brent Burns goal. I mean, you just can't do that. You've got to weather the storm. You've got to get in the shot lane as much as possible, even though, yeah, they can work it on your side. If you're the top, let's say, forward in there, and you've maybe passed your stick down to a broken defense, or a stick that was broken by the defenseman, now you're without one. Here, Steen had broken it and decided to go to the bench to get a stick there. You just can't do that in that sort of scenario. You've got to, again, weather the storm, and it cost them a goal against, and it's something that I'm sure, if that's a rule for Ken Hitchcock, I'm not sure why he's come up with that rule, what cites him to be able to kind of consistently tell that to his team, but I don't agree with it.
Oh, yeah, me neither. I get that San Jose is very good on their power play, but even if it's first and third period when it's the short change and you can get there and back, it's still 3 or 4 seconds you're leaving yourself open. And that power play with those guys who basically can pass with their eyes closed because they've been together so long in the power play, yeah, it was really head-scratching for me. And you've been around the league, you've watched a lot of power plays, and the Sharks' power play is a little bit different. They don't go with that traditional 1-3-1 umbrella. How much of their success do you think is just simple continuity amongst their elite star guys that they've been on the power play together for so long?
Well, let me contrast it with looking at the Washington Capitals, where you've got Alexander Ovechkin, who always seems to be over on the bottom, you know, over on his one timing bottom of the umbrella, waiting for that one, you know, one timer shot. Yeah, it's a deadly shot in the regular season, but in the playoffs, players are, you know, they're going to get in the way of those shots. They're going to pay a price in the playoffs, and they're going to find a way to get in the way of that. So what is deadly about the Sharks' power play and the fact that all those five guys are interchangeable? Yeah, Brent Burns can play at the top of the key, which I love when he takes shots from up there because it hits the goaltender, falls to the left and right, or at least Joe Pavelski can get a tip on it. But when he slides down to where, you know, Alexander Ovechkin usually likes to sit and, you know, teed up from there, he can also be deadly from that spot. But you never see, you know, Burnsy sitting in one place. He's always moving around. I think Joe Thornton, Pavelski, Thornton, Couture, all four of those guys can roll up to the top and be a defenseman with Burnsy. So I think that is so important because of puck retrieval. When you get those shots on goal, they find a way to get the puck back and then find their relief guy. They all are so good at finding the little pockets in areas of the ice to relieve that pressure to continue to hold on to that puck in the offensive zone. And you'll see, as the power plays go on, they get more deadly because the team just gets tired and eventually they pay a price.
San Jose was much better than in game two, for sure. Although even in game one, I thought they really did a good job of not allowing St. Louis to have continued offensive zone time, which is really where the Blues are the most successful. You look at it from a St. Louis perspective. What do you think they need to do tonight to try to slow down San Jose, not only 5-on-5, but try to avoid going to the penalty box?
Well, yeah, I mean, start with that first. I mean, you just can't, in the conference final, you just cannot take down penalties. I mean, they took 3 or 4 selfish, terrible penalties. That just, you just cannot do that in this sort of series right now. So I think that's the first thing that they'll definitely improve upon. I think if you look at St. Louis, they need to start getting the puck in the offensive zone, and obviously the Sharks' defensive zone. They have to start getting that puck deep. But you're right, the Sharks' defense have done a great job of being able to take a hit. I thought game two was one of their better games with regard to, you know, moving their feet, you know, taking a hit, not throwing the puck away, kind of stopping behind the net, making little subtle, you know, fake passes where the Blues were biting on that pass, and then the defenseman was keeping it on their stick and finding that next outlet pass, maybe with their legs or, you know, directly making a pass. So I think if the Sharks continue to do that as far as a six-man crew, it's going to be very difficult for the Blues to develop any sort of offensive zone time, and that means the Sharks will be back on offense. So that's the one thing that you have to look in this series. Can the Blues get more zone time in the defensive zone of San Jose. And if they do, they're going to be much more effective. But if the defense for San Jose continues to navigate out of their defensive zone efficiently, you know, I think it's going to be more of the same against the Blues.
Brett Hedekin joins us, former NHLer, analyst for the San Jose Sharks. From a Sharks perspective, anything you'd like to see them do better that they didn't do in the first two games?
Well, I thought game one, I don't think they communicated very well. I mean, even you never think in a conference final that you wouldn't be able to open your mouth, because I always say it's free. It doesn't take any talent to open your mouth, to let your teammate and be your teammate's eyes. And many of the mistakes and the turnovers that they made in game one were a direct result of the lack of communication. So I thought in game two they were much better. I think for me, again, it's going back into the defensive zone. When they break the puck out and they work as a five-man unit of coming deep, if you're a forward, being available to receive that pass, boy, when they break that puck out, I think that's what I want to see this team continue to do, because when they do it, they are a very hard team to beat. And I think that's what will win the series.
Brett Hedekin joins us. Brett, Nieto, any update on the injury?
They've been pretty tight-lipped for the most part. Pete DeBoer has just said, you know, he's been skating. You know, the way he has been, Pete DeBoer, he doesn't like guys coming back, you know, halfway. I mean, if you're getting back in that lineup, you got to be 100%. So I would imagine he's probably going to be available by the end of the series. But I think right now, Tommy Wingles, you know, got a nice goal the other night. That fourth line with Dinah Subas and Nick Spaulding and Tommy Wingles have done really a nice job. So I think Wingles learned a few things by getting taken out of the lineup, and he's a guy that now has been put in. He has done a nice job of being physical and then obviously adding to the offense as well. So I think no changes right now, but it's a nice thing to have Nieto in the wings.
Joe Pavelski, Joe Thornton, Marlowe, like they have so much skill. You watch Marlowe. Do you see a significant benefit to him playing wing or center?
Well, I really liked him at center, and I know he probably, you know, would probably tell you that, hey, he'd prefer to be in the – and I hate the term top six, because I hate the bottom six term even worse. You know, you don't win with a top six and a bottom six. You win with 12 forwards that can all make plays is what you win with. And I think with Patrick Marlowe in that third line center position makes this team better. That being said, certain series present themselves where you've got to tweak some lines. And I think what Pete DeBoer did in this series is move Marlowe up and get, you know, him going, if you will, with Couture and Donskoy, and he's fitting just fine. Now, he can never do that without a guy like Nick Spaulding, you know, being picked up at the deadline, who's a centerman and a winger. Move him on that fourth line, and Chris Tierney's development to be able to move up into that third line position with Joel Ward and Elker Karlsson. So I think all these things kind of happen throughout the course of the season that gives you the ability to move players around. And I don't think it'd be too much to say that Patrick Marlowe might find himself in that third line centerman position before the series is over. But right now, this ingredients is working, and I think Pete DeBoer will just stick with it.
Well, you know, it's funny, when you can have that much strength down the middle with those guys, and Marlowe's your third line center, it's huge, right? It's what we see in Pittsburgh right now with Phil Kessel technically on their third line, even though they've been the most productive one. And Brett, with this San Jose Sharks team, you know, they had always an asterisk beside them because they haven't won the cup. And in today's day and age, if you don't win the cup, it seems like you're bad. But the Sharks have always been a good team up until they couldn't ever get to the Stanley Cup final. They're halfway there now. What's the difference you see maybe in this group compared to previous years?
Biggest thing for me is they've got a goaltender that's elite. That's been the thing. I don't think they've ever had a goaltender here, and they always wanted to point the finger at guys like Thornton and Pavelski, but they've never had a guy that could, you know, make that great save when needed. And if you look at Martin Jones and what he has done throughout the course of the season, he has been elite at times. When I say elite, he's so calm under the pressure. He's so calm under the duress. I cannot believe how this guy has been picked up by the Sharks and how they got him, because he has been that good. But that being said, I don't think he's playing extraordinary in the playoffs. He's playing exactly what I've seen him play like all season long. So that's the really exciting thing for me, is that I haven't seen a change in or a dip or even a more excelling, if you will, in the playoffs. He's just done what I've seen him do all year. And so that's exciting. I think the depth through defense is the second thing, and then the depth through the middle, as you were mentioning, with Patrick Marlowe in that third-line position when he is there. When you have four centermen, and potentially even five, if you call Nick Spaulding in there as well, who's in that fourth spot now, That's just a lot of depth through the really important areas of the rink, and that's been their biggest thing.
Brett, I really appreciate it. It's been an excellent series, and I suspect it's only going to get better. It'll be rocking in San Jose tonight. Jealous because there's nothing better than being in the barn on a playoff game night in the conference finals. Enjoy.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me on, guys.